listening to WTUL New Orleans News and Views. I have to cut that counterspin a little bit short. We can hear the rest of it later on. But we are joined in the studio by three very special guests. I want to make sure that we get to them and all that they have to say. Before that, I'm going to read a quick public service announcement. This public service announcement is brought to you by WTUL New Orleans. Every month, the Feed Justice team of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of New Orleans hosts fresh, healthy meals to build a stronger community and neighborhood. The meals are open to all, reflect diverse culinary traditions, and are part of the team's food justice work. The next dinner is tomorrow, Tuesday the 15th at 6 p.m. More information about the meal and about donating to support the meals is available by email. Their address is feedjustice@firstuno.org. All right, you are listening to WTUL New Orleans News and Views. I'm DJ Mimi, and we are in the studio with three guests who are hosting some really important events this weekend, so we're going to let them tell us what's going on. First, we have Janet Hayes, the founder of Healing Minds NOLA, and full disclosure, you might also know her as DJ Under the Bus. She is a fellow WTUL News and Views DJ. We are also joined by Honorable Judge Kern Reese and Ken Barnes, special counsel to the Supreme Court. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. And I know you all have some big things going on this weekend. On Friday, October 18th, there is an exclusive film screening called Bedlam, the first that helped halt plans for Los Angeles Mental Health Jail. That's at the Carver Theater at 6 p.m., and it is open to the public. And then on the following day, October 19th, a full-day conference called Implementing a Full Continuum of Psychiatric Care, Focus on Serious Mental Illness. That's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So, let's get into it. What are you all doing this weekend? What's going on, and what do people need to know?
Hi, Maggie. Thanks so much for having us on. So, this Friday and Saturday, we're going to be showcasing a couple of events to bring awareness to the issue of the mental health crisis, essentially, not only in New Orleans and Louisiana, but across the country. And then talking about what we can do to solve the problem. So on Friday, we're going to be screening a film called Bedlam, Inside America's Mental Health Crisis, that really centers around the issue of overrepresentation of people who are homeless and incarcerated in Los Angeles County. But we know that that's a problem in every city in America. And the exciting thing is that this film actually will not be released to the public until next spring. However, folks will have a chance to see it this Friday at 6 p.m. at the Carver Theater. And then the following day, on Saturday, we're going to be hosting a full-day conference. It's Healing Minds NOLA, the Louisiana Supreme Court, and Louisiana District Judges Association, to discuss program services and policies that have been implemented across the country and other services and locally that are working to create a continuum of care for people with serious mental illnesses as alternatives to incarceration, homelessness, and death. And that conference is it's open to anybody. People can register for it online. There's a link on our website, healingmindsnola.org, or they can contact me directly. And we're really excited about a lot of the speakers, actually, who are going to be coming in, who are sort of national rock stars in this subject area. And so, anyway, hopefully people will be interested in attending.
Do you want to talk about who those speakers are in the room, or who's going to be sharing information? Who are the stakeholders? Who are the speakers?
Yeah, just real quickly, I'll highlight a few of them. So our keynote speakers are John Snook, who's the executive director of Treatment Advocacy Center. That's a national nonprofit based in Arlington, Virginia, who specialize in removing barriers to care for people with serious mental illnesses, and that includes legal barriers. So they work with states on passing laws and policies to better serve people who are impacted by this illness. And then we also have former Congressman Tim Murphy, who in 2013 wrote a bill called the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act that included a number of provisions that a lot of national advocates supported, some of which got passed in the 21st Century Cures Act. And so who better to have come talk about that bill than the person that wrote it? And then also we have DJ Jaffe, who's a controversial New Yorker who has been working on focusing on people with serious mental illnesses and what programs and services are actually that are designed specifically for folks, subgroup of that population who simply cannot or will not adhere to treatment. And so he's been advocating for years for various policies and so on that actually some of those were incorporated into the Murphy Bill. So he'll be coming and he'll be a guest speaker and giving a talk before lunch. And then Teresa Pasquini, who's a colleague of mine in Contra Costa, California, who's a mother and an advocate. Her son has been through anything and everything to do with the broken mental health system and the broken criminal justice system, and is now living in a shared housing facility in California called Synergy. And he's finally, for the first time, getting the right treatment and care that he needs and is doing well. And then we also have a ton of panelists. I can't list them all, but I'm really excited that Cindy Schwartz will be coming, who is the program director for Judge Lifeman in Miami-Dade County. So she works on all the pre and post jail diversion programs, and she's the nuts and bolts gal. So if anyone has any questions about how to put together a good diversion or deflection program from jail, she's the person that really has a lot of expertise in this area. So those are just a few of the speakers that are going to be at the conference. But I mean, I could go on and list them all, but including our own Judge Reese, who is going to be on the afternoon panel talking about assisted outpatient treatment, which is an outpatient program. Again, it's designed specifically for that subgroup of people with serious mental illnesses that have trouble adhering to treatment while living on their own in community.
Definitely. If I might, we have embarked upon the assisted outpatient treatment program pursuant to a law that was passed in 2008 and had not been in effect, called Nicola's Law, named after Officer Nicola Cotton, who was got into an altercation with a mentally ill patient and was killed. We saw a diminution in mental health services in this particular area. And we also saw a need that something had to be done to try to remedy that. Janet and I began talking about this maybe over almost 2 years ago now. And we started pulling stakeholders together and went to the New Orleans City Council, and they funded a program, and we now have an assistive outpatient treatment program going in civil district court to try to help people who have mental illness to become stable, become functional, and become contributors to themselves, their families, and the community. We saw a very, very drastic need. We hope to expand the program. This program coming up this weekend, I think, will be very illuminating for anyone who wants more information on what they can do and what they have available. There are many families that are touched by mental illness. It goes through all social stratas and segments of the community. And we want to tell people that there are opportunities to get assistance for their family members who have issues. This conference, as I say, will be very illuminating. People should participate in it, and I would certainly recommend their attendance, and as well as the movie on Friday, Bedlam. And let me say that I attended a seminar with Judge Lifeman some time ago, and there are places in the country that are treating mental illness as an illness and are providing treatment for it. It should not be punitive. It should not be incarceration. It should not be anything like that, but rather people just need to receive treatment for it. And that's what we need to move toward. And if we do that, the benefits to the communities are just incredible. So this is what we're striving to bring forward. Ken, you want to chime in on the participation of the Supreme Court and what they're attempting to do?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'd like to start off by saying congratulations, Judge Reese, for being the first in Louisiana to start an AOT program. And what AOT does is it's very similar to the mental health courts that we currently have in Louisiana. We currently have 6 mental health courts in Louisiana. Although we have many more jurisdictions than that, we do have 6, and we're trying to expand that. But what Judge Reese's program does that the other programs do not do is Judge Reese is a civil court judge. So by doing this, these individuals who are going through Judge Reese's court are not going through the criminal justice system. They're going through the civil court system, which there still is the black robe effect of having the authority of a judge there, but you don't have so much punity of going to jail. So it presents a different tool in our tool belt to address some of our mental health needs here. So Louisiana Supreme Court has definitely taken note to the fact that we've always had a criminal justice system in the United States, but we have not always had a mental health situation or opportunities here in Louisiana. So what we'd like to do is make sure that we're producing tools and avenues for different judges to give to their individuals before them instead of always looking towards jail as a way to rectify issues when we may have to find a better way, such as mental health care.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you all want to talk a little bit more about what that continuum of care looks like, and then again, the ways that there is that intersection between the mental health system and the criminal justice system, and where we could be showing up better.
That's a great question, and thanks for asking. Well, I guess, first of all, I'll start with the problem. So our mental health laws currently require a person to be dangerous or gravely disabled before we can intervene to get them into some kind of treatment and care. So essentially what we're doing is criminalizing people by nature of the law requiring it, right? Which is insane when you think about it, because we require people to be dangerous, then they end up criminalized, and then we punish them for committing a crime. I can't think of anything more inhumane than that. So what we want to do is we want to bump treatment back so that we get to people earlier. So they have a lot of great programs now, first episode psychosis. You know, we have we do have therapeutic and supportive teams that will go out and help people. But for people who will not seek treatment on their own, because sometimes a condition of serious mental illness is that the person lacks insight that they have a serious mental illness. And so that means that if you don't think you're sick, you're not going to seek care. And it's pretty hard to convince somebody that doesn't think they have a mental illness, that has a mental illness, to get into treatment. And so we need other ways to assist people so that we can help them be free of their delusions, their hallucinations, whatever their psychosis might be, so that then they can make good decisions for themselves. Unfortunately, serious mental illness is a cognitive impairment that impacts the brain, which is the very organ people need to process information to make decisions. Yet we have said as a society that we need to let these people make their own decisions, and that we can't interfere. If they're an adult, they have the right to be sick. They have the right. It's like cancer. People have the right to choose treatment or not. However, when it's the brain that's being impacted, then these, you know, it's just allowing people psychiatrically deteriorate, and we just, it's just this slow burn, this slow downward spiral that never gets better unless we intervene. So what I think that the main components of a full continuum of care look like is, well, first of all, alternatives to incarceration, because we do need to deal with the population of people who are currently incarcerated. So deflection and diversion programs are really important. But then deflection and diversion to what? Currently, we don't have enough programs or even appropriate programs to address the population of people who won't seek treatment on their own, who do want treatment but can't get it. So, and then we also need better inpatient and outpatient streamlining. So we have really poor discharge planning for people with serious mental illnesses, not only from hospitals but also from jails. So we never have that warm handoff, and we have HIPAA barriers that prevent doctors and family members from speaking together about the individual who may be ill to help keep them on their treatment plan once discharged from a hospital. So HIPAA is the privacy law that says that if an individual doesn't want their information shared with a family member or anyone else, that their right needs to be respected. And certainly we want to respect people's rights, but in some situations when the person is psychotic, the person is cognitively impaired, who's making those consent decisions then in that case? case the patient, the cognitively impaired person, sometimes we need an adult or somebody else, a family member who can assist that individual once discharged to, you know, make sure they're taking their medications on time, what the dosages are, what the side effects are. You know, these are really important decisions that should be made collaboratively, collectively, and that's not happening. And then that third component, I think, of a full continuum of care, which is really needed, is housing. We all know that a person, it's really difficult for a person to pursue a better life trajectory unless they have stability in their life. Housing provides stability. When a person is homeless, you know, they're vulnerable. You know, folks with serious mental illnesses are reluctant to take medications if they're homeless because the side effects sometimes can be drowsiness, which leaves people vulnerable to predators on the street. So they don't want to take their medications with very good reasons. But it's not, but it doesn't help them. You know, there's no return on investment if we can't get people the help they need. They just continue to cycle in and out of ERs, hospitals, jails and prisons, and homelessness. So we're not getting any return on our investment. We need to work together to figure out how we want to in the future, what our vision should be for a community capacity to get people treatment and care. But we need to make the decisions together. Nobody should be excluded from the discussions.
I could say one thing. Judge Leifman in Miami, and through collaboration with the Miami Commission Council, they have reduced the homeless population from 11,000, from about 11,000 down to maybe 1,500 to 2,000. And they have invested in mental health centers instead of building another prison. And it has been incredibly successful in treading mental illness in Metro Dade County and reducing the jail population. They have reduced the number of jails in Dade County from 3 down to 1.5. And they're talking, closed the jail because of providing assisted treatment for individuals once they have been treated. And that's what AOT is, treating individuals once they've been released from a treatment facility to keep them in their medication regimen, to provide housing, to provide the social services to assist in obtaining income and or jobs where they can become functional. And that is the ultimate goal. And when folks, we've had success stories, when folks participate in this program, they become stabilized, their families are much relieved, they can seek their own housing, they can live in group home facilities, they can go work jobs, and it works out well for everybody. So that's the reason for my participation in this program, because I can see the benefit. It has been incredibly illuminating for me just to learn the components of mental illness and what can be done to assist it. And if you get into it early enough, you can reduce the downward spiral of the person. You can arrest the worsening of the condition and keep them and their families just in much more stable situations. We are really, really just very ecstatic that we are having these successes and hope to expand it further. Kent?
You know, it's hard to come in behind two experts like y'all and say anything that's novel, new, or even coach. Thank you. See, this is because you just met me. That's why you have to. But I mean, conversations like this from both Janet and Judge Reese are the reason why this seminar, this symposium, this conference is so important. These type of conversations are the type of conversations that lead to more AOT and more drug court or more mental health courts. And the important point to this is, like, a lot of judges, a lot of people who work in law enforcement or as a district attorney or even a public defender may not know these different things about how can we really address the full gamut of a person instead of just looking at the criminality that we're accusing this person of. So this is very important. But another point I like to bring up. Janet brought up the fact that a lot of individuals aren't able to go into the AOT until they become dangerous, which one is I hope that we find another solution to that in the future. But two, we have to remember that people with mental illness are no more likely to be dangerous opposed to people who do not have mental illnesses, and that a vast majority of the population will have some type of run-in with mental illness at some point in their life. So what we have to do is we may be quick to say, all right, well, this person's accused of a crime, let's go ahead and give them the full penalty of the charge. But we have to also remember that we may also become one of those people one day. But additionally, these people are no more dangerous. And sometimes the crime that they're accused of committing is some type of outward action of the mental illness that they may be dealing with at that point. And if we address that, then we kill that cycle of going back and forth into prison. Now, I formerly was a public defender, public defender. And while I was there, there were some people that I saw once and I was happy to never see them again. And there were some people I could count on month to month. They would be back because they may be accused of this. But then they'll get out because it's a low-level crime. They may take an early plea. But then they'll be right back in there because they're still dealing with the cyclical nature of their mental illness. And until that's addressed, they will continuously cycle in and out until they cycle up to a higher felony and are kept there for a lengthy period of time without ever addressing their needs.
Yeah, and why don't you talk again about the conference coming up this weekend because we're getting to the end.
Yeah, and I really like how Ken phrased that people are no more with mental illnesses are no more dangerous than the general population, and that any violence that an appearance of violence can be due to the psychosis, the visualization, or the delusion. It's not the person. Just to reiterate, so we have this conference, the full-day conference. It's going to be from 8 to 5 p.m. on October the 19th at the Hutchison Main Auditorium. That's 1430 Tulane Avenue. Folks can register online. There is a an Eventbrite site where you can register, and you can get that registration link off of our website if you go to healingmindsnola.org. It's on the front page. Apologies for my non-technical knowledge of how to build design stuff, but the information is all there if people want to get. I'll work on the page if I can get the page. And we do have scholarships available also. So if people don't have enough money to attend, it's $50. They can contact me directly at healingmindsnola@gmail.com. And if we have spots available, I'll make sure that people get in them. And there are also CLEs available for attorneys, judges, and CEUs for social workers and counselors. It's 6.5 credits for legal and 4.5 credits for social workers. So we're excited about that also. And we're really looking forward to having an awesome day. And then we're going to have a big blowout dinner, full dinner, buffet style, New Orleans style with New Orleans music after the conference. And we'll give people information about how to participate in that. On the day that'll be in their packets, and then again the evening before that will be a screening, exclusive showing of Bedlam, an inside look into America's mental health crisis. That's 6 p.m. at the historic Carver Theater on Orleans Avenue. It's right near Dookie Chase. I don't have the address, exact street address at the top of my brain, but again, there is an Eventbrite for that as well. You can search for it online. It's also on our Facebook page, so if anybody's looking for these events, you can go to Healing Minds NOLA on Facebook, and you can find these events posted there and more information.
I know it is at the corner of Orleans and North Johnson.
See? Judge, there you go.
On the corner of Orleans and North Johnson.
That's the historic Carver Theater, which is no mystery to people who were born and raised in New Orleans and have seen it go through numerous incarnations pre and post Katrina. So I think that's it. Also, people can reach me at my number is 504-274-6091. I'm not famous enough to have to not have my number publicized. Anybody, if you want to call and find out more information, you can always call me at my number as well.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us this morning to talk about the upcoming events, and I wish you well, and I hope that everyone turns out and turns up to engage and be part of that continuum of care. So have a good rest of your day, and thanks again.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you.